Good morning, everybody. Kids, you can go on back to a kids' church as well. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. I want to, as you're turning there, last week we had a guest speaker that talked about Convoy of Hope and what Convoy of Hope does. If you were not here, I want to show you just a brief video about what we are doing in 2 weeks. It's called One Day Campaign. And what I want to encourage you to do is, this One Day Campaign, it does this. It helps feed and clothe kids all around the world. Convoy of Hope feeds, clothes people all around the world. They also help educate children and bring mothers up out of poverty by teaching them a trade, a skill, and so forth. And so what we are doing as a church, and what I hope you do as individuals, is called a one day campaign. And it's basically doing this. It's taking what you make one day and working for the poor and the destitute around the world, and taking that one day's pay and giving it in the offering. Now, I know automatically what goes into your head: are you kidding me? There is no way I can do that. I said that as well. But I told Dane, I said, Dane, I believe God is directing us to do this. I want to do it. And so we're believing God is going to supply the need. You know, we are not acting like believers if we are not believing. Correct? We can't constantly walk this walk based on solely what we can do and based on solely what we can bring in ourselves. And so if you go ahead and cue that up, I want to go ahead and show that video real quick. Kate's story is just one story of multitudes and multitudes of kids that have grown up because people have caught the vision of the One Day Campaign. There are special envelopes in the back of the sanctuary. When you leave, please pick those up if you have not gotten those already. And we will take up the offering in 2 weeks. And I just want to encourage you to pray and say, Lord, all I can ask you to do as a pastor is say, Lord, if you want me to participate, then help me to do this. That's all I can ask. And then we're going to take up that offering. We're going to celebrate what God has done and how much money God has brought in, okay? So thank you for being a part of that. Now, is everybody at 2 Corinthians chapter 10? Everybody? All right. Here's what I want to talk to you guys today about. It's called biblical spiritual warfare. Now, when we start talking about biblical, or when we talk about warfare, period, as believers, it gets kind of weird and kooky and spooky and you're seeing, you know, craziness and so forth. And so people tend to shy away from spiritual warfare. And the reason why they tend to shy away from it is because they don't understand it, they don't know how it works, and they don't know how it applies to their life. Can I get an amen? And that's just the truth. Today, I want to help dispel that. Because there is a war that is being waged, not only corporately as a body, but singularly as individual believers. And that war is real. That war is active. Just as much as the living word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, so is the enemy's schemes toward you and his plans toward you. And so I want to talk to you guys today about open doors. So let's pray. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you, Lord, for messing up my plans completely. Lord, your plans are way better than mine. And so today, I am obedient in giving exactly what you have given me to give to this church today. And I pray that your anointing rests upon it, upon me to teach, and upon the body to hear and to receive and to enact the word of God in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5 says this: For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Everybody say demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and that we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Today, I want to talk about the battle of our mind. The open door that I want to talk about is simply that. It's about our minds. The New Testament's usage of the word warfare had a lot to do with conquering the flesh and taking charge over your minds. How many of you guys battle with your mind telling you something contrary to what God says about you? Each and every one of us, our hands should be going up, and our toes and feet and so forth, because we always deal with it. Now, the devil may attack our minds, and he may attempt to energize the flesh against us, but if we will keep our minds and our flesh under control of the Holy Spirit, we can avoid a lot of unnecessary warring with the devil. Demon spirits have no power to bring about destruction unless they can find an open door in our lives that hasn't been shut. For instance, like unconfessed sin, unresolved anger, and a mind that has not fully yielded to Christ. Bitterness, resentment, anger, allowing things to fester in our life, all create open doors for the enemy to come in. Now, we know that these things are active in our life. We know sometimes that we live with bitterness. Sometimes we live with the I deserve to feel that way attitude. I know I'm not preaching to anybody in this room. I deserve to feel that way. I felt that hurt. That hurt was real. That hurt has defined me. And because of it, I have told that person what they can do with the hurt in my life. I deserve to feel that way. I deserve to harbor that. I deserve to keep a mental note of all the wrongs that they have done to me in my life. Or we live with unconfessed sin in our life. Why do we do that? The reason why we do that is because we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to admit that it's sin at all. And so what we do is we allow that door to be opened. Now, we have a dog at home. Her name is Mika. And she sheds like crazy. It's unbelievable. I don't know how she sheds that much. She should be bald-headed. Every time that I comb, we have a special comb called a Furminator. And so we put that, I start combing her out, and there's like another dog to the left of her. It's crazy the amount of hair she sheds. And so because of that, we shut our bedroom doors because Mika loves to sleep between my side of the bed and the wall. And she also loves to sleep in Christian's room right beside his closet. She loves that area of our house. And so because of it, hair is everywhere. So we try to keep our door shut. Now, the reason why I didn't mention Joshua's door is because she hates Joshua's room. She does not go in there. Not because of Joshua, but I don't know why. I mean, our dog is weird, okay? So when we have a fire in the living room, she departs that area of our house completely, and up the stairway she goes. She hates fires. Don't know why. But she sheds like crazy. So we try to keep the doors closed to our bedrooms so that hair does not get in. Makes sense, right? But practicing that habit is another issue altogether. Because we're not conscious of shutting the door every time we come in and out of our rooms. And so what happens is that Christian will leave his door wide open. Sometimes I'll leave my door wide open. And as soon as I go upstairs and I'll do this, I'll go, Mika, she jumps right up because she's right between the wall and my side of the bed. We're in and out of our rooms, and life gets busy. And so we shut the door behind us. We think we hear it close, but it didn't latch all the way. And so what Mika does, and she's a very smart dog, she goes up to the door, sniffs the door, takes her nose, and nudges the door. And if that door opens even a little bit, she walks right in. And the parallel is that we know that we have doors that need to be shut in our life, and we do the very best we can at shutting those doors, but we get careless in the way we shut those doors. We get careless, and we think we hear it behind us shutting, and we how many of you guys know, you know the sound of your door in your house when it shuts, right? You know when it doesn't shut all the way, but because you're in a hurry to get out of the house, to get down the stairs, take the kids to school, go to work, come to church, do this, to service, whatever, we just lose track of things. And we leave open doors in our house. And then the enemy comes in, and he's an opportunist. And the enemy does not have authority over us unless we give it to him. Just let that sink in for a second. He does not have authority unless we give it to him. Unless we are careless with our life. Because we get in a hurry. We get careless with our prayer time. We get careless with our study time. We get careless with our attendance in church. We get careless with our prayer time and all of these different things. We feel like that we've closed that door, but we didn't latch it all the way. And the enemy comes and he inspects our work. And he checks to see if there's any cracks in the door. And if he sees a crack, if he sees the door is not fully closed, then he will exploit that and go in and make his abode right beside your bed, right where you live. We know that we have unconfessed sin in our life, but due to worry, due to anxiety, we habitually stay in that state of sin. And when we do that, we hand over the key, we hand over authority to the devil. We don't mean to do that, but we get careless in the way we serve the Lord. We get careless in our passion toward Him. We get careless in repenting over things that are starting to make our heart become numb because we have unconfessed sin in our life. Romans 12 Verse 2 says this, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now look at this phrase, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I used to work at a tub factory when Dana and I first got married. I hated that job. And my job was to stand in this long hallway all by myself with an air hose with a wedge on the end of that air hose. My job was when those molds came through with the tubs on them, I was to stick that air hose and that wedge in between the mold and the tub to make it separate. So that when it goes down the line, other guys could, the pullers, could pull the tubs off and set them on the floor and polish them up ready to sell. But my job was all by myself, 8 hours a day, sticking that wedge mindlessly in between the frame and the tub to separate them, right? Doesn't take a brainiac to figure that one out. And so here's the point I want to make to you this morning. In those molds are specifically made for a specific purpose. And there's a there's a fiberglass sheet that's laid over that mold. And when it's laid over that mold, heat is drawn to that mold, and it sucks that fiberglass sheet all around that mold, conforming it to its image. And what happens is that I stand in that hall, and I'm separating those tubs from the mold. And that fiberglass sheet has no other option to conform around that mold. It doesn't have an opinion. It doesn't have a say-so. It's just formed around that mold. You and I have an opinion, and we have an option to be formed around a certain mold. And that certain mold is around the written Word of God. But we have chosen another way. We have chosen our opinion. We have chosen our own understanding. We have we have embraced our own experiences because we know the outcome. We know the predictability. We know the pattern. But a believer must live his life by what? Faith. To be conformed and transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the only way we can renew our minds is by getting this book in our spirit. Amen? This is our mold. As a believer, we know that we are slaves to Christ. And how many of you guys know that slaves do not have a choice in the matter? The Bible says that we are now dead with Christ. We are raised up with Him. And because of that, because we are slaves to Christ, the Word says that we are no longer to be conformed by the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, why would it say that? The answer lies in the second sentence. Look at it with me. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many of you guys want to know what the will of God is in your life? Then be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, no longer following the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you can test and approve what God's will is, His good, perfect, and pleasing will. Now, our former pattern tells us not to forgive. Our former pattern tells us not to let anyone in. Our former patterns tell us to build our walls up high, thick, long. Our former patterns tell us God isn't big enough, that His grace isn't sufficient. This is why we need to have our thinking transformed, to be renewed. It takes a long time to renew our mind. It takes a long time to conform our mind, to conform our spirit, and to conform our obedience to the Word of God. It is not easy. It's not for sissies. It's not for the weak-hearted. It's not for the faint-hearted. Being a born-again child of God, a believer, takes everything that you have. Amen? That's why we need the Holy Spirit of God to build us up and to strengthen us so that we can forgive, so that we can overcome, so that we can knock those walls down that we have built up for so, so long. It's important that we step off of the mold that we have built ourselves in and allow the heat of God's Word to transform us and conform us around His written Word. Because His Word is the ultimate authority in a believer's life. It is what we go by. It's how we are defined. It's the way that we find out the will of God. Sometimes knowing the will of God is not about constant prayer. It's about constant reading. It's knowing His Word so that we can hide it in our heart so that we may not sin against God. It's about hiding the written Word, not depending on your pastor to give it to you one day a week. It's not about a small group's giving it to you one every other or biweekly. It's about you diving into the Word of God on a consecutive basis, daily basis, praying and saying, God, permeate Your Word inside of me so that the enemy has no open door, so that the Word of God can transform me and renew me into the man and woman of God You have called me to be. Amen? I'm not saying downplaying the role of the adversary, because the devil is strong. He is persuasive. He convinced two people that had seen the very face of God, that lived in perfection, that walked in the cool of the day with God incarnate, convinced these two people to be disobedient to God. So yes, He's persuasive. Yes, He is wise. Yes, He is cunning. But when we know the strategy of the enemy, we can adequately come against him with the Word of God. Jesus, when He was tempted in the desert, He did not come with eloquence of words. He did not come with swift prayers. He came with the Word. He combated the enemy with the Word. Devil, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. Every time the enemy told him a lie, he came back with the truth. That's why it's important that we hide the Word of God, not only in our hearts, but in our minds, so that we can know what truth is. We live right now in a day and a time where politics are, every time I turn on the television, there's some kind of ad, there's some kind of, special thing on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or whatever it is, and it's constantly Trump, Hillary, all of those different things. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket concerning a political party. Put your trust in the Lord. The Lord said that troubling times would come, but when those days come, lift your head up because your redemption draweth nigh. Amen? Knowing that the political party is not going to solve our ills. I don't care who becomes president in November. They will not solve the spiritual depravity that is in this country. That comes from the pulpit down to you. It comes within our hearts. It comes in knowing who we are as believers. Our world's not going to be transformed in Washington. It's going to be transformed on our knees. The enemy has had his time. It is now time for us to stand up and to recognize the schemes and ploys of the enemy so that we can combat him. You know, a football team, whenever they win or lose, they always go back to the drawing board. They always go back and they look at the tape. They check tape, right? They look at what they could have done better. They also study their opponent for the next week, and they study that all week long. They know their tendencies and how many running plays and percentages of passing plays and so forth that their opponent makes. They do this because they want to know their adversary. I am convinced that most believers do not want to know their adversary. I am convinced that they want to stay ignorant for the rest of their days. They just want to get by. They just want to get to heaven. They don't want to be an overcomer. They don't want to say to that mountain to be thou cast into the sea and it'll be done to you. They don't want to face that mountain. They'd rather go back the other way that is well worn, where they know the bumps, where they know the turns, where they know what to expect on the other side. I'm going to tell you, New Freedom Church has stepped off the beaten path this morning. Amen. We have stepped off the beaten path, and I don't know what's around the corner. I can tell you what I'm hoping is around the corner. And through God's obedience, I believe that we are going to reach a precipice where we will never turn back again. Amen? But we've got to get out of the boat. We've got to know our adversary. We've got to change the way we think in order for God to move in our life. Now, if you would turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41. This is the story of Jesus calming the sea. Verse 35 says this: that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down. And in it was completely calm. Verse 40, he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So you see, even Jesus came under attack. A violent wind and storm came upon that boat. Notice in verse 37, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Notice it says it came up. How many of you guys ever had something that just came up in your life? Didn't expect it, wasn't anything you deserved, it just came up. Jesus told his disciples, he said, listen, we are going over to the other side. And because Jesus is the spoken word and the Son of God, he went into the stern of that boat, laid on a cushion, and fell asleep. Now his disciples were not, they knew all about boating, and they were fishermen before they were disciples. They would have never gone on that lake knowing that that terrible storm was coming. They just wouldn't have done it. But things come up. Things happen. And here's what happened. Because Jesus spoke his word, he had peace. He went into the stern and he went to sleep. The Bible says that the storm came up and it was rocking the boat so furiously that waves were starting and water started coming into the boat, about to sink the boat. But yet Jesus was still sleeping. He was at peace. You know why? Because he said, let us go to the other side. Jesus knew they were going to the other side. But his disciples were having a little bit of doubt about that. Now notice, Jesus did not wake up until he heard his disciples do what? Call on him. Call on him. Jesus knew, he knew what was going on. But it wasn't until his disciples called upon him that Jesus woke up and he rebuked the wind and the waves and everything became peaceful and still. Church, things are going to come up. Things are going to happen. The enemy's going to have a plan for you. But know this, let our first response be to him. Let our first dependency be upon him. And then if you'll notice, at the end, it says this. And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. You see, when we call upon the name of the Lord, he quiets our storms. To the point where the sun comes out and the waves cease and the waters become like glass so that it reflects his glory. And it's at that moment that we call upon the name of the Lord that the enemy is defeated in our life. That we no longer go back to the way we were. That we no longer conform to the pattern of this world. But we are now transformed by the renewing of our mind. That we no longer harbor bitterness. We no longer harbor unrepented sin. We no longer harbor all of these things that separate us from God. But we call upon the name of the Lord and said, Lord, in my agony, would you have mercy on me? In my destruction, Lord, would you build me up and bring me up? Lord, I trust you. We don't need to say fancy prayers. We don't need to speak in tongues. We don't need to prophesy. All we need to do is call upon the name of the Lord, and Scripture says we will be saved. Church, you have authority. You have authority to speak to those winds and those waves, peace, be still. And he will do it. Amen. And lastly, when the wind and the waves cease that night, the word says that the wind died down and it's completely calm. And know this, and would you stand with me? That really wasn't the end of the story. The end of the story is they did get to the other side. And the instant Jesus stepped off the boat, they were close to a cemetery. And there was this wild naked guy that had been cutting himself with glass, chained to a tree. Nobody could subdue him. He was strong. Jesus looked at this man. And he took authority over the demons that were in him. and brought peace to this man's life. Know that when you are up against it, know whenever a storm comes up, God's grace and His miracle and His purpose is just on the other side. Press in. Don't give up. If you can't do it by yourself, call another brother and sister in Christ who will pray with you, who will help bring you to the other side. Because in that pressing in that holding fast, in that praying without ceasing, on the other side is your miracle if you faint not. The enemy wants to keep you from your destiny, and God wants to bring your destiny to fruition. You don't have to wait to the end of your days. Now is the best time of your life to be obedient to the Word of God. Amen. I want to challenge you today as we have some folks come up to help pray. If you're struggling with things in your life, if you're struggling with things going on in your mind and you know the enemy is telling you a lie, today you need to lay that down. Today you need to get rid of it. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, if you're dealing with resentment, bitterness, if you've left a door open, trust me, the enemy will examine that door. He will examine that door, and he will exploit it and go in. And he'll affect your life. So I want to encourage you right now, today, if you're struggling with anything, today, if you need the Lord in your life, today, if you don't know Christ at all, today, you can know Him. Today, you can tell that mountain to be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. Amen. So I'm going to pray, and as I'm praying, I want you to come. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. I thank you, Father, that we no longer have to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but we are now to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Knowing that according to 2 Corinthians, our weapons are not of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not of weapons of this world. On the contrary, they are divine. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we take captive. Right now, if you're dealing with a thought pattern that is negative, if you're dealing with suicidal thoughts this morning, if you're dealing with thoughts of worthlessness today, you need to take captive those things right now. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that those thoughts would be cast down. In the name of Jesus, that Lord, we no longer conform to the patterns of this world. We no longer conform to the way we used to think. We no longer conform to the way we used to behave. Lord, we choose today to believe your word in Jesus' name. Lord, may you set us free from the way we think. May you close the door. May you throw away the key so that we can never enter again. May those doors be shut permanently. May your word today be a guide for our life. May your word today speak over us life and healing in the name of Jesus. May your perfect peace cast out all bitterness. May it calm our storm. Know that we are in a battle not because we just are trying to have a bad day. We're in a battle because our destiny is at stake. Your future is at stake. God's miracle in your life is at stake just on the other side. And so, Lord, we choose to believe. We can't see what's around the other corner, but we choose to believe in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Some of you still need to come. I want to encourage you to come. Let this be your moment on the water walking toward Christ. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we speak your peace. Would you do this right now? Let's just raise our hands and thank God right now for what he's going to do in our situation. Lord, right now, we choose to believe, we choose to worship despite our circumstances. Lord, we worship now by faith. We choose to worship now through our circumstances. Lord, some of us are dealing with self-inflicted wounds. Some of us are dealing with attacks from the enemy that we did not cause. It just came up. And so, Lord, through that, we choose to worship this morning. Come on, raise your hands. Let's worship. Let's vocalize our worship this morning. Lord Jesus, through my vocal cords, from my heart down into my spirit, and out of my mouth, I vocalize my dependency upon you. Lord, I also repent, Lord, of these self-inflicted wounds. Lord, may I shut those doors and never allow them to be open again. Help me to never be swayed by the plans of the enemy any longer. Holy Spirit, be my strength, my time of weakness. And Lord, I choose to worship you, Prince of Peace, through my circumstance, because Lord, I know just on the other side, my miracle awaits. Just on the other side, I know my healing awaits. Just on the other side, I know my peace awaits. And so as the disciples called upon you to quiet the storm, I call upon you now today to quiet my storm in my life. Help me, Lord, to depend upon your word so that it'll be a guide for my life in the name of Jesus. Let your word go forth powerfully. Powerfully in the name of Jesus. So that I can test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will is for my life. In the name of Jesus. Would you put Galatians back up there? I'm sorry. Romans 12, 2. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Some of you guys need to write this on your mirror at your house. Stick it in your truck when you go to work, your car. Quote this thing. Speak it over your life. If nobody else is willing to speak it, you speak it in the name of Jesus through the authority Christ has given you. Father, we love you. We give you glory and honor because you are worthy of it. To you be the glory. To you be the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, this morning, I want to encourage you to take this word that is spoken and speak it over your life. Use the authority that Christ has given you so that you can be an overcomer, so that you no longer have to succumb to the lies of the enemy anymore, so that you can discern God's will for your life. Amen? Amen. Listen, I want to encourage you. You guys are going to be dismissed just in a second. Make sure that you're respectful of those that are praying, all right? We have our second service starting in about 25 minutes. I want to encourage you, if you want to stick around, fine. If you're not, go for it. Our second service at the end, there is something that's going to be pretty incredible that the church is going to be a part of. So listen, I love you guys. Take this word, apply it to your life, amen? This word, this truth can be applied right now today, all right? Hey, listen, God bless you guys. You're dismissed, all right? Join one another's company as you go. Love you guys.